was thinking about how easy it is to get distracted. A lot of things going on and a lot of things to get your eye on. I noticed if you're sitting and looking at something and it's a still scene and something moves in that still scene, your eye immediately sees the motion of it. But if there's a lot of wind blowing and the leaves is moving and birds are flying and all these different things, it's hard to keep your focus on one particular thing because you see so many things around, and it's difficult in this time, I think, to keep our focus on what's important, on what's really important in our lives, because there's so much going on. It isn't if we'd stop and think about it, or we get in a setting like this and we talk about it, we all come to the same conclusion about what's important. But when you get away and you get a lot of things going on, you can lose the purpose of what, or the focus of what's really important about things, and all of a sudden you may be off somewhere on something that's really not very important at all. But you make it important, and you need to be brought back to the place to understand of what's really important. And if we're not careful, we lose the idea. I'm easy distracted, and I know that about myself. It's hard for me to keep a focus, and it's important sometimes to keep focused on things. And one of the things that I regularly do, and I hate when I do it, but I do it. We'll be traveling the miles, and I know where I'm going, and I'll even tell myself what my next exit is or where I need to get off at. But if it's just a quarter of a mile, I probably won't get distracted. But it don't mean that I won't get distracted. But if it's 50 miles off, I'm likely to get distracted. And if I'm not very careful, if it's further than that, I'm really in danger. But the main thing is, if I'm focused on where I'm going and just driving, trying to get there, I'm paying attention to where I'm at, I'm paying attention to what the signs are saying, then it's going to remind me, this exit's coming up, this place is coming up. But inevitably what we do is to entertain ourselves, we put on an odyssey, or we put on a story, and as I get involved in the story and I'm listening into the story, I can look up at times and say, where am I at? And I'll say, Linda, or Leah, if Leah's somebody help me, because I think I missed my exit. If I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to tell you, one of the most, you guys are familiar with this, when you're coming back down Interstate 77 and you aim to get off on 50, do you know that's the hardest thing for me to do? I know where that's at, and I have missed it so many times just with a little meandering of my thoughts. There's not a lot to remind you. If you're going through Tulsa, for instance, and you get down on the other end of Tulsa, you have so many reminders telling you where you're at. There's almost nothing telling you where you're at through there. And over and over, the last trip we had, come down through there, I told myself, oh, Marietta, Dad, got an exit, certain place, I'm ready to exit, just a few miles, something's on the story, and I'm listening to the story, and all of a sudden I'm down saying, where am I at? Oh, no, I think I just missed an exit. And I missed the exit because I wasn't focused on what I was trying to do. There's sports analogies the same way. Football, for instance, the quarterback throws the pass, the receiver runs over, and this is a very common reaction. Somebody's going to hit that guy. He's a football player. Somebody's going to try to tackle him. So he runs over there to catch the ball, and he turns his head to see where the guy's at, or to run when you turn your head, when you don't. They say you watch the ball in. You focus. You watch the ball come in till you get it. Then you turn to run. It's a common problem when receivers miss the ball is they turn their head to run and they don't watch the ball. They lose their focus and they drop the ball. Well, do you know we have a goal set before us? We have a goal. Our goal is to make it to heaven. If you want to be more particular to get to heaven, our goal is to please the Lord while we're here on the earth. Now, that'll get us to heaven, okay? We have a goal to please the Lord with our lives while we're here. But if we're not very careful, that when that's the only thing we're watching, we can say, I'm supposed to react this way. I'm supposed to do this. This is what I want to do to please the Lord. But as many other things start happening, if we're not very careful, we can lose the focus on what's even important. Do you know it's more important? It's all important to please the Lord. I mean, we can please one another if it pleases the Lord to please one another. We can do activities on it, do all to the glory of God. It said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, that's the focus. We can do a lot of things in this life as long as it pleases the Lord to do it. But if we're not very careful, we'll be doing other things that's not pleasing to the Lord, not even realizing that we're not focused on the things. And it's easy after a while to lose the idea. Now, there's a scripture in Luke, the 10th chapter. Oh, I'm picking up, it's 9th. I think it's the 9th chapter of Luke. In 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. I don't really think either one of these situations was unreasonable by themselves. It's what we naturally probably want to do. But the Lord has something in mind here with what he tells them. Because you could probably do that and come on along. But there's a warning here. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be singled of purpose. To really be successful following me, you're going to have to put me first. And then if it's in order for you to go back, you can go back as long as it's in order. But if you lose your focus, you're not going to be successful. So he said to them, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I mow quite a bit. Brother Mansell, maybe you've done this. You mow quite a bit. So I want the rows to kind of be straight. Now it's hard to always do that. But when I start off to mow and I want it to look nice and straight, you start off and you pick a point out in the distance somewhere. This is the way, this is actually what this is referring to. You put your hand to the plow and you look straight ahead. You pick a point out there. That's where I'm going. And you keep straight to that point. That's what I do with the mower, pick at that. But you know, like I said, I'm easily distracted. And I can say I'm going to mow to that point. Well, it better not be very far off the way I am. Because my mind will get to going, and just about every time I mow, I'll do this. I'll start the mower and I'll pick the corner of the trailer, or I'll pick a tree out in the brush, and I'll start mowing and I'll mow right straight to that point, Mo, right there, and just now I get to thinking about something else, and just now I look, and I'm not more, and I look back then. And it's a big, it's all over. It's not a, this is what this is referring to. Anybody that's going to put your hands in the plow, keep an eye on the goal. Jesus is the goal. Keep an eye on the goal, going straight for that. Anybody that looks back is going to drift away. That's the idea. Keep your focus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keeping a single mind, a single purpose. Is it as important today for you to please the Lord as it has been in the past? Am I still single purposed? Have I got other purposes that challenges that purpose? Lord help us, it's important to keep the focus. If you turn your head before you get the ball, you're not going to catch it. If you don't keep an eye on where you're going, your roads are going to be crooked. It's not going to be a good straight path. And we need to keep our focus on what really matters. And if we're not careful, we'll allow things of this world. We got to have things of this world, folks. They're things in this world. But how important are they? How really important is that thing? Well, with Keith's testimony, the Lord will allow us sometimes to get real about how important things is, how much we need the Lord to help us with that, those things, when you realize what can happen in just the slightest instance, or what can happen. You know, even in this world, that's important. But I want to say this, if we lose our focus, we're in jeopardy of losing our soul. That's what's important. If I don't win my soul, if I don't make it at the end of this, nothing here will matter. Nothing. No argument that I ever won. No entertainment that I ever had. No contest I ever won. Nothing will matter at the end of this. Nothing. So Lord, help us to keep our focus. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. The idea is when you start looking back to see what you've done, you're going to miss where you're going. And I want to say something about failures and mistakes and things that we've all had in our lives. They can be the hardest thing to overcome. Looking back. Getting to the place to where, Lord, I failed and I failed and I failed and I hardly want to try because I failed so much. You know, that can be a hard problem in people's lives. Don't look back. Look forward. Look to the answer. Jesus has got the answer. Look to the answer. Keep a focus on it. We've used this scripture many times. Jesus walked on the water until he lost his focus. He walked on the water and he kept his victory and was able to do it as long as his eyes was on Jesus. Single of purpose. Single of mind. Jesus is able to help us to do this. Go through anything. I didn't have grace for anything. Is there anybody here today that would say, I don't have, there's not enough grace for my situation? Well, no. There's enough grace for my situation. But if I'm not focused on the Lord, then I'm not availing myself of the grace that's able to help me in that, to keep my focus. It's not a matter of lose it so many times. Yeah, I might be able to. I notice a lot of people nowadays, because of all the shootings and the things that are going on, they're starting to arm their chapels and arm their people and all that kind of stuff. And well, that's one way to do it. You may make that argument on it. But our goal isn't that. Our goal is to go to heaven. Our goal is to have love in our hearts for everybody. Our goal is to be a peaceful people. God is God. You know, God can dictate who goes by this chapel, who comes into this chapel, and how they act into that. It's impossible. It's impossible. for somebody to hurt us that God don't allow them to. For me not to say that would to say that I don't believe in God at all. Or I don't believe that He's what He says He is. No, He's what He says He is. My focus isn't to gun somebody down before He guns me down. My focus is to be godly. My focus is to have the right thing in my heart. That's my focus. And if I can get my gun out fast and somebody else can, I might live another year. But where will I be in eternity is what I'm interested in. What's my focus? Lord, help us. And I'm not condemning people that defend themselves. And you all know that. I'm just saying that there's a higher purpose. And if we aren't careful, we lose our focus on what we're really supposed to be. I'm not supposed to allow that to creep up in my heart. Lord, help me. You know, there's ways to get victory in this life through prayer. Now, come on. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. They're powerful. They're able to accomplish in this life. Over in Philippians 3. Do you remember the story of Lot and how for Abraham's sake the Lord delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he destroyed, destroyed the cities of the plains and the plains, the great destruction that happened, and they actually took Lot out of there, out of danger, and took his wife. You remember, because the scripture says this, remember Lot's wife. You remember what happened to Lot's wife? She's at a very trying time for her in this life. I don't know what, there's speculations, of course, on that, but that was more than just a turning. Naturally, the story goes this way. Taught him not to look back. But there had to be more than just with the eyes, wasn't there? Wasn't there a heart issue? Wasn't she leaving something back there? Family was back there. Wasn't there something left back there? The victory was ahead. The deliverance was ahead. Everything was ahead. But something pulled on her. I don't know if the lifestyle pulled on her. The whole family pulled on her. The situation she had in the community. I don't know what pulled. Something pulled on her. That I can see the struggle. You ever have something, you want to see what it was, and you just go by, but you want to turn, and she want to turn, and say, don't look back. Don't look back. And she gave in to the temptation and lost her focus on the deliverance that God had. And she turned. And she did. She was turned to a pillar of salt. We all know the familiar scripture. She lost her focus. Oh, I wonder how many times sitting right in a Church of God seat. I wonder what the ages records will be when they're told of how many people sit right under the sound of the gospel, sat right in the pews and lost their focus on what really mattered. And was lost right there. I know it happens. I know it happens. And I want to say it even stronger than that. It'll happen to you. And it'll happen to me. We lose our focus. This is about Jesus. It's about our relationship with Jesus. It's about keeping our lives to where we want to please the Lord. These other things that we do in life are necessary things that have in life. Listen, life goes on around us. And Lord uses us where we're at and leads us into different paths. We got some here that work one job, does something else. Somebody works at snowshoes. Somebody farms. Somebody's in school. Somebody does that. Somebody works for the Forest Service. Someone runs a dozer. We have all kind of people and they do all kind of things. And all of those things are necessary. But within all that, we're supposed to keep our focus. And do all to the glory of God and allow God to use us in those capacities as someone that's faithful. and got their eyes on the right mark and on the thing. And this is what Philippians 3 says. 10th verse says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I've always wondered. I'd like to have Apostle Paul right before me so I can say, what are you talking about here? I mean, I want to know the specifics of what you're referring to when you said forgetting what things. Tell me specifically the things that you are saying forgetting those things which are behind. But I don't know. The only thing I have to do is sit and wonder what they are. But maybe I have a good idea of it too. He wasn't always faithful. I'm saying he wanted to be faithful, but he had it all wrong. And he done a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. He persecuted women and children in the church. He hurt people. He done all these things. No doubt there was a drag on him. No doubt. This is speculation. No doubt the devil reminded him of it. No doubt the devil made sure people reminded him of it. He couldn't outlive it. He probably had it come up before him all the time because that's the way humanity is. Make sure that it comes back. You don't think so? Or when the Apostle Paul had a duty to do that he had to do and his authority, they would say, well, yeah, that's a good thing for you to say, murderer. So how do you respond? Forgetting those things which are behind. There ain't nothing we can do about it. You know, when the old devil comes and tells you about your past life, just tell him to forget it. Jesus already paid for that. It's already buried. It's already done. That's not me, I've had to say. Lynn and I say that. That ain't me. That was somebody else. Devil, you're a liar. That ain't me no more. I'm changed. Thank the Lord. Forgetting those things. What am I talking about? Forgetting those things. Why? They're distracting me. They're distracting to the purpose. I can't make it to that. What should I be looking at? All my failures and my thoughts and how am I going to keep doing this and all these kind of things. No, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. What am I going to do? I'm going to forget those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark. The mark. The goal. The point that's set there. I'm going to plow a straight line. Got it right in mark. I got my mark right there. That's what dictates what I'm going to do. Lord, I'm going to please you if I can. By your grace. I'm going to please you. Got my eye on it. I'm going to please you. I'm going to make a straight row. I'm going to go straight and possibly can. I'm going to forget the things that waver me, get me going one way or off one way or this way. And I'm going to get a focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. So I got a mark. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as be perfect, be thus minded, be the same minded. I'm pushing towards a mark. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And Lord, thank the Lord for that. One of the things I'll have to say about the faithfulness of God has amazed me over the years. If you're sincere and want to live for the Lord, He'll do anything He can to get you back on that line. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that is so willing that when we miss our exit, there's a way to turn around. That when we lose our focus, the Lord will come and refocus us and say, yeah, you turn your way over here. But you can still turn from there and get your focus point back and you can take off again. If you're anyway otherwise minded, let everybody be this minded that you got a mark, a goal set that you should go for. Set that in your heart and mind that that's what this is about. Don't get distracted because there's so many distractions. If you get, I'm not saying for you not to be a part and do it, but I'm going to say this. If you get too far or too involved in politics, you'll get distracted. Because you'll make an argument like there's some white hat out there, and there's not. Jesus is the only pure mark. Politicians is not going to have the answer for society's ills. Jesus is the only one. And we'll get to acting like sometimes that one side, well, I think one side may hold better views than the other one, but I'm going to tell you, you'll get distracted if you get very deep into it. So that's why I say, I pay attention to it. Sure I do. Do this kind of stuff. And my main vote's Jesus. He's always on the ballot and I'm always voting for Jesus. Jesus is my first vote on there. And if somebody ain't doing what Jesus is supposed to be, they ain't doing it right. That's my first goal. And I want to tell you something else. You get too involved in the financial things of this world, you're going to lose your focus. You get involved in people that get heavily involved in stock markets and stuff, it's easy for them to lose their focus because they start making that your ups and downs and emotional swings will ride on that. There's nothing wrong in business, but you need to have a focus. Keep the focus. There's a lot of things that can distract us that's harmless by themselves. But they can also draw on and be another motion that we distract to, that we got to take care of this. I've got to take care of this. I've got to take care of this. I have to take care of these things. I have to take care of this. The further you stretch yourself, the more you got to take care of, the more distracting it becomes to the real purpose that we ought to have. There's people with gifts. That's obvious gifts. But everyone has certain Christian duties. A person with a gift to pray can't pray for you. They may have a gift of prayer, but they can't pray for you. You know what I'm saying? They can pray for you, but they can't pray your prayer. You have to pray it. You won't get the same thing if you don't pray it. So there's a duty for everyone to do. Do you know that it's every Christian's duty to be a witness for Christ? Now, if you want to make an argument of that with me, I mean, we can sit and discuss it, but I think I'd win the argument that everybody that names the name of Christ is to be a witness for Christ. So therefore, the people that we meet in this world are our duty to represent Christ to them. And I'm not saying you have to have a word and a meaning. I'm saying you have to be a witness, but you'll never do anything if you don't have the focus. You won't even think about it. I've missed opportunity after opportunity because I'm thinking about something else. And it's right there. God put it right there on my platter. And I was thinking about something else. It wasn't my focus. And it should have been my focus. We have a duty as Christians to be witnesses for Christ. To show we should be, listen, well, I'm hearing none of the saints around, I'll let my guard down. No. There's souls around. You'd be surprised what people pick up about you that you don't know they pick up about you. You'd be surprised how many times somebody would say to me, you're a minister, ain't you? I don't even know them. You're a minister. How did they know that? I don't know. They picked it up somewhere along the line that you're a minister. Or they'll say, where do you go to church at? I didn't say I went to church. Where do you go to church at? They pick it up. We're to be a witness for that. And we're not a very good one. We're not plowing a very straight row. if we lose our focus, that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is really what it's all about. Do you know, to God, the winning of one soul would be worth more than $1 million? If you have it right, winning a soul to Christ is worth more than the millions that you can make, because it'll last eternally. And what a thrill to do it. It is a great thrill to be a part of somebody coming to the Lord. It's a great, the focus. Lord, help us to have a focus and not be distracted by everything going around. It's not that we don't do other things. We put the Lord first in the things we do. We'll do a lot, but we put the Lord in there first. And we'll never be successful being a player or a spectator or a pretender. You're only going to be successful when you're a player in the game and got some skin in it. It's something, I got something in this. Not just a spectator on the side. If it don't go well, I can step aside. No, you're losing your focus. Something goes haywire, then I'm gonna be on the sideline. No. You're the catalyst to make it better. You be the one that's got to focus, get a focus and say, no, I'm gonna fight this thing through. Do we have victory in it? The devil's trying to do something. I'm gonna stand my ground against the devil. Go be like that one in David's army that took the barley field. I'm gonna stand here, or the bean field. I'm gonna stand here and I'm gonna fight the battle, because this is ours. And I'm gonna keep my focus on what belongs to us. God gave this to us, and we're gonna have to fight for it. Keep the focus on what we should be doing. I will tell you. I have to just admit, I took a 10-minute segment to pray for Brother Mike, and all I have to say, it's hard to do if you don't keep your focus. Oh no, it's 5:20. I took from 5 to 5:10. It's hard. You all know it's hard. 5:10 didn't set the clock. 5 to 5:10. Oh no, it's 5:15. I didn't wake up. Well, those are things that the Lord understands. The Lord knows. And the Lord knows our hearts, and the Lord can make a prayer at 5:15. He can back that up to 5. God knows an honest heart. But we need to keep our focus. You going to go to heaven? You can go. Brother Clifford used to say, you can go to heaven if you want to more than anything else in this world. You can go. There's a way made. And God done everything He could do to make a way that was right for us to go. And you can go if you want to with your whole heart. But there's a lot of people in the Scriptures that, as we had in Sunday school, that got lifted up in themselves and lost the focus of what they really should be doing. And even for a while, the great King David lost his focus on what he should be doing, and had one of the worst testimonies in the Bible is King David's. But do you know he was able to get his focus back? There's a lot of things in the Bible, I'm glad it's there, of success and failure. And it shows us, you know, unless we keep the Lord our focus, we'll fail too. I'll say this, if Saul failed because he lost his focus, and David failed because he lost his focus, and Jonah failed because he lost his focus, and Cain failed because he lost his focus, then Marty's going to fail if he loses his focus. That's all there is to it. Without the Lord and the focus we have on Him, putting Him first in our lives, wanting to please Him, endeavoring to please Him. Do you know it's possible to disappoint people, and it's possible to please the Lord and people don't understand you and think that you're off? It's possible, but it's all about pleasing the Lord. The Lord knows whether you please Him or not. And that's where our focus ought to be. I'm going to do what I know to do to please
to please my Savior.
Let's keep our focus. Like I said, if you don't keep a focus on things just now, you'll be 100 miles in the wrong direction. Well, I've done that a number of times. One time going, you all have heard me tell, I was going to Brother Carl's and down in Holly Hill. And I got down there, and there was a place down there where 81 North is 77 South. They run a little bit. You know how that road is? And I'm going south on 77 and north on 81 at the same time. And when it split, I stayed in 81 listening to a Brother Leslie preaching message. And all of a sudden, I was going and seeing signs that said Roanoke. And I could not think of a Roanoke, North Carolina. I kept thinking, I know there's a Roanoke, Virginia, but there's a Roanoke, North Carolina too. I don't remember ever seeing that before. And I drove for 2 hours the wrong way. And then realized that Roanoke was Virginia, and that's where I was at, Roanoke, Virginia. Went all the way down to Withville and back to Roanoke. And was supposed to be at Brother Carl's at 5 and ended up there at 9. And it wasn't pleasant and it wasn't pretty. And I'm going to tell you what a distraction will do for you. It'll cost you. I got distracted, wasn't paying attention, and it cost me a lot. That ain't eternal. But there's a lot of people get distracted and go into areas that they never recover from. So Lord, help us. Don't be distracted today. Get your focus on the Lord. Keep it on the Lord. You pray for me.